In the meanwhile, I want to say thanks to Nancy Martland, to STOP, to Snowpack, to Sugar Hill for the opportunity for us to speak today. I'm from Easton, which is the town down the hill from here. We have post office envy of Sugar Hill. Yours is still open 30 minutes every week, is it? We lost our post office decades ago, and our building went to build one of Betty Davis's residences in Sugar Hill. Okay. Now, everybody may have had a chance to get one of these little business cards. There's a box circulating. If you haven't gotten one yet, would you please try to find one and get it? This is going to be your homework assignment. I still find it difficult to get in front of an audience without giving out a little homework. You cannot share this with your spouse or friend. You must each do your own, please. We saw the Forest Society video of Deerfield, and you may know that they've produced a second video, which is equally effective. Susan Arnold from the AMC is talking about the White Mountain National Forest and how Northern Pass hurts the forest. She makes a very basic point. She says, Northern Pass is a really bad idea. And that's probably all anybody ever needs to say, but it won't be enough. In fact, Northern Pass agrees, believe it or not. In an interview with Shannon Donovan in late May, she asked Martin Murray, what's the biggest argument against Northern Pass? Murray answered, White Mountain National Forest, 9 miles. He just admitted it outright. He's right. We all know that this is a really bad idea to try to run this transmission line through a national forest. The question, though, is it's going ahead, and what can we do about it? And while I agree that the regulatory process is definitely a tilt table, I want to put a plug in for doing something in the regulatory process. Just as Jim has suggested, we work with property values as a property rights issue. Let's not quite hang up the spurs on the regulatory process yet in one particular respect. I want to talk about three things very briefly today. One is a new web resource that's on that little business card that you got. The second is this display map that is literally hot off the press. I have the Staples bill dated 3:06 p.m. The map was designed by Ed Rolfe, who's a Franconia resident, a geographer, cartographer, environmentalist, and he has put together a fantastic display map of the route of the proposed route of Northern Pass through the White Mountain National Forest. We're going to be getting these out and about. They're not inexpensive, but I think it's worth the effort to get them out so people can literally see where this line is going to go through the forest. I think many people have a very fuzzy idea about what's actually going to happen. If your town hall would like to purchase one, we can get them to you at cost. I'm not exactly sure what that bill said other than 3:06 p.m., but I'll take a look at it, so let me know if you'd like a copy. The third thing that I'll mention is that we are putting the Easton Conservation Commission down there in that town without the post office, is putting together a White Mountain National Forest Northern Pass meeting for late September. I don't have the exact date yet. We're still nailing it down, but we'll let you know about it, and we want to put a lot of emphasis on the forest. So what does Northern Pass want to do in the White Mountain National Forest? They want to build 2 high-voltage power lines. Yes, I said 2. There's the DC line that we all know about. And then Northern Pass is also proposing to pull out those wooden poles and put in a new AC line. The poles that they would remove are the 50 to 60 footers that we've all kind of gotten used to and are below the tree height. The new AC line that they want to put in would be on steel monopoles of approximately 110 feet high. That's the AC line. That will be moved to one edge of this narrow corridor. The new DC line that we hear about all the time would be on 120-foot steel lattice towers. So let's be clear, we're talking about two new power lines in the White Mountain National Forest. You can imagine the construction problems. The visual impacts will be severe, and I'm very pleased to hear that the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation has funded the AMC to start to get some real honest return and data on this issue. I think we can all figure out, without thinking too much, that towers 110 and 120 feet high or more will have an impact, but it's important, of course, to actually document that. We know that some of those towers, of course, would be higher. When you go over mountainous terrain, I'm guessing some of those towers are going to go to 140 or 160 feet to get up and over. In one case, the line would have to go over the Appalachian Trail up at about 2,300 feet. As towers climb, they've got to be higher to keep the wires up. This route that we're talking about right now, that Northern Pass is proposing to use through the White Mountain National Forest, has already been rejected by a utility developer in 1986. Someone looked at it and said, no way, we can't build there. And this was a utility, a transmission developer itself. The New England Hydro Transmission Corporation in 1984 began looking for a route to put in the first DC line that went through New Hampshire. And they looked at the existing PSNH right away. They proposed 90-foot towers, not these 110 to 140-foot towers that Northern Pass is talking about, and they rejected the route. The developer itself rejected the route. The DOE concurred. They said, no, this isn't going to work. Here's some of what they said. New England Hydro and the DOE concluded that PSNH's right-of-way was too narrow for the addition of a DC line. It would cause significant a need for significant right-of-way acquisition and clearing, and it would cause appreciable disruption of local land use patterns. The overall result would be relatively severe land use conflicts. Those are verbatim quotes from the report. And this is also a verbatim quote. Most of this route would be along PSNH's existing right-of-way. However, in many cases, these right-of-ways are too narrow to accommodate the new DC line, and thus significant right-of-way acquisition and clearing would be required. Adopting this route would result in relative severe land use conflicts. It would entail acquiring about 1,585 acres for right-of-way, new right-of-way. Local land use patterns would be appreciably disrupted. There would have to be extensive vegetation clearing. In addition to these severe land use impacts, New England Hydro itself determined that this route would have too great a visual impact on seasonal tourist facilities and on the communities within, probably a 10-mile swath of the line. And this was back in 1986, before places like Owl's Nest were even a gleam in Tom Mullen's eye. A lot has, well, maybe not, but a lot has developed since then. Here's what they said. The visual impact of this route would be greatest along the northern portion of the route, where it would parallel the Pemigewasset River Valley, traverse mountainous areas in proximity to seasonal tourist facilities, cross I-93 several times, and be highly visible from a number of communities along this highway. if a transmission developer and the Department of Energy rejected this route in 1986 for a new DC line, why in the world is Northern Pass trying to use it now? And Northern Pass, of course, knows this. I'm not, I haven't dug up anything they don't know about, but yet they persist. And that's where our role comes in. If they are not going to back off, then we need to step up our efforts. One of the things that you can do about it right now is to help the Forest Service say no. They're already leaning that way, I think. I'll predict. Northern Pass has applied for a special use permit. They've had to be a little more detailed in that than in what they normally tell us, which is, well, we can't determine anything yet, we're not sure, we won't know, and so forth. But Northern Pass did have to name some specific figures in the special use permit. They've gotten two responses, so Northern Pass has gotten two responses so far from the United States Forest Service, the White Mountain National Forest. And I'll read you some of the quotations from a February 16, 2011 response called the Initial Screening Evaluation from Supervisor Tom Wagner, who's down with the forest in Campton now in the headquarters. Wagner noted the following areas of concern. He noted that utility lines are usually allowed in these areas. Utility lines are allowed in these areas and should be installed by burying if technically feasible. That's the first thing. Wagner also said that the analysis that the Forest Service will do we'll need to include the consideration of all feasible alternative routes, even if it is more costly or more difficult to utilize these routes in order for me to make an informed decision that is in the overall best public interest. So saying something costs too much simply does not matter. That's off the table. The Forest Service says, in essence, you have got to show us an extremely good reason why you can't put this anywhere else. Money doesn't count. The difficulty, the technical difficulty doesn't count. We need incontrovertible evidence that this is the only place it can go. Further, Wagner said in this February 16th response, that at this time he found it premature to determine if the proposed use is in the public's interest. An environmental impact statement will fully analyze the proposed use and evaluate whether or not this proposed use is in the overall best interest of the public. We are the public. We are the ones who have to say whether we find this in our interest or not. And if we do not say this, we default the decision to someone else to decide whether or not it's in our interest. Which brings me to what I want to wrap this up with. That little card that you have has a web address on the bottom, protectwmnf.org. It would be grandiose to call that a website. It was something put together quickly, but it's got the information that you need on it. If you go to that site, you'll see a number of click here instructions that will take you to the Department of Energy Environmental Impact Statement comment site for you to enter a comment about the White Mountain National Forest and what the public wants, what we think is in our interest. It doesn't matter if you have already entered a scoping comment. You need to enter another one that specifically talks about the forest. In my mind, I must admit I've never had anything to do with a NEPA process, but in my mind I see a bunch of people sitting, you know, at desks sorting comments into different shoeboxes. And there's going to be one shoebox that says the Forest Service or the White Mountain National Forest. And if you just talk about this being a lousy idea, we don't need it, we don't want it, that's going to go in another box, and Tom Wagner may never see it. I'm not saying that's exactly how it's going to go, but that's plausible at least. Go to protectwmnf.org. Enter a comment, a specific comment about your feelings on this power line, these two power lines, in fact, running through the White Mountain National Forest. The only way you can talk to the Forest Service is through that comment box. The Forest Service will not run its own scoping process. They won't have a different evaluation process over here. It's all happening in that centralized EIS process. Now, the Forest Service may come to a different decision than the DOE does, but if you don't get on board with getting your comment in fairly soon, in that EIS process, in that little comment box, you're going to miss the boat, and somebody else is going to decide what the public interest is when it comes to the White Mountain National Forest. So I'll wrap it up here and say that make sure you get one of those little cards. It doesn't matter if you have already entered a comment. Enter another one, please. Don't think somebody else is going to do it. Don't think this panel's going to take care of it or Nancy's going to take care of it. We collectively constitute the public, and we must have our voices heard. After you're done with that little card, the second part of your homework assignment is to hand it to someone else and make sure they do the same thing. Enter a comment. There are currently, when I checked last about noon, there were 1,758 scoping comments that are now uploaded on that site. We doubt that that's all of them. A fair number of them seem to have been dropped. But we should have that after this meeting and in a week or so. That total should be up over 2,000 with new comments about what the public thinks about this power line in the forest. They need to hear from us, and that's the only way they're going to. I called the liaison at the Forest Service to make sure I was on the right page about this, Tiffany Benna, and she said, absolutely, you've got to enter your comment in the EIS site. If you want, you're more than welcome to send us a copy of your comment, and on that little website address that I've given to you, I've indicated how you can do that. If you want to make sure it gets there, if you want to have a backup copy, you're free to do that, although Tiffany did ask me to let everybody know that the Forest Service cannot individually respond to comments. They'll collect them. They'll put them in a folder or whatever, but they cannot write back to you. Thank you.